Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on the words of New Hope.
And one of the worst things is, he is the same size as I am, so the same clothes fits him. I went into the closet, said, honey, where's the shirt that I had here, the real nice one? I don't know. Honey, where's my new belt? Oh, I don't know. Hey, you know that really nice pants I had? Where's that one? I don't know. I saw Aaron at church the other week and I looked at it. Some guy came up to me and said, hey, Wayne, your son is looking just like his father more and more, you know? I can tell you why. It's my shirt, my belt, my pants.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message we started yesterday. We're going to be talking about that folding stuff that we all wish we had a little more of in our wallet. We're talking about money. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Close But Still So Far Away.
When you use and start with what you have, and you use what you have with passion, God will fill in what you don't have with a miracle. He'll begin to develop in you character. He'll develop in you depth. He'll develop in you something called perseverance and persistence and endurance, stick-to-itiveness. He'll start to develop in you a sense of industriousness. He'll develop in you patience and long-suffering. He'll develop in you humility and contentment. You can't buy those things, you see. But can you see how when we first go to money, money will displace all of that character? And you'll grow up rich in money, poor in likeness. And that happens all over because of the God of money. It displaces the need for God. So I say, try to use innovation first. Try to use all of those other things. Start with what you have. Because if you don't, you know what the results will be? I'll hear people say it. If I had more money, then I'd be happier. If I had more money, then I'd be more fulfilled. If I had a bigger salary, I'd be a better employee. If I had more money, then I'd be more productive. If I had more money, I'd be more successful. If I had more money, I'd feel more valuable. If I had more money, I'd be more satisfied. If I had more money, I would be more blessed. You know, everything that it just said is actually that which belongs to God. If I had more of the Lord, I would have all those things. But can you see how we take that devotion and we give it to money? If I had more money, and without realizing it, we've switched. You can't serve them both. You must choose. And sometimes God says, hold on to that. I'm not going to give you that in order that you might build this. And once you build that character and likeness, then when I give you money, you'll be able to steward it wonderfully. You'll have the maturity and the character to handle it. Otherwise, you'll displace God for mammon, or what the Bible calls mammon's money or wealth. And that's what it says here. You go to some countries that are extremely affluent, like Japan. The gospel, to take the gospel there is so difficult. You know why? I go down and I was talking to one guy and I talked to him about the Lord. And this is what he said. Why do we need your God? Look at what we got already. They have technology. They've got wealth and affluence. People have all kinds of stuff in Japan. Tons of stuff. So why do we need your God? Look at what we got already by ourselves. And that is a ruse. That is a myth. The God of mammon will kill you. Because he wants to displace God. And that's all about the enemy. He will use whatever bait you'll bite on. And we bite on that a lot in the U.S. But I want you to know 30,000 in Japan this last year committed suicide. Tell me about that kind of God. 30,000. Happens all the time. It's almost becoming a trend. Just last year I heard about a father whose business was going down. No money. Therefore, he felt his value was bad and he was no longer providing for his family. So you know what he did? He took his wife and him and his baby and they jumped off a 20-foot-story building, committed suicide together. And I thought, what a myth. What a deception when we genuflect towards the God of mammon. And so God is saying, keep it in its place. Keep money in its place. And don't give a devotion to money. Oh, but we can buy our way out of life, can't we? Well, what do you mean? Well, instead of developing self-control, buy it. Instead of developing patience, just charge it. Instead of just saying, hey, we're content, make a loan. And we allow that to dictate us. And that's why in America, our consumer debt now, just consumer debt, is in the trillions of dollars. Trillions of dollars. We are such a country in debt. And it'll kill us if we don't put money in its place. But the more dangerous thing than the national debt is the debt of character. You look at the ones coming up now and you think, where's the character? Barbara Walters once said that. She said, there is an absence of something in America. There is a huge deficit, but it isn't about our finances. There is a huge deficit, and it's a deficit of character. And I thought, boy, you hit that one on the nose. She said, we have students graduating from high schools and college, and they have degrees but no character. They don't know how to handle life. They don't know how to live. They know mathematics, they know science, but they don't know life. Where is the character in America's leaders? See, what happens is we can have a tendency to buy our way out of life. Would you write in your next bullet there on the other side, don't buy your way out of life. Don't buy your way out of life. Oh, we need this. Get it. We need this. Get it. We need that. Buy this. Buy that. And we've never developed patience. We never develop contentment. Listen, money may buy you bed, but it won't buy you sleep. Money can buy you companionship. It won't buy you love. Money may buy you entertainment, but not happiness. Money can even buy you religious or religiosity, but it will never buy you salvation in its truest sense. Money can buy you an image, but it will never buy you character. Money can buy you the good life, but it will never buy you a legacy. Money can buy me a passport to anywhere in the world, but it will never buy me a passport into the kingdom of God. See, don't buy your way out of life, because you see, sometimes the Lord says, if you bow to this, what happens is you keep buying your way out of, just buy this, buy, and you never develop patience, endurance, deferred gratification, contentment, being satisfied with the way God is treating me right now in my life. It won't develop in me resourcefulness. It won't develop in me innovation, creativity, starting with what I have, being faithful with what I have, gratefulness, thankfulness, and something called humility. See, that's the stuff of the kingdom of God. That's the stuff that's worth a lifetime. But if we just buy, we don't have to build any of those. Let's get it now. Let's just do it now. Let's do this here. And we get into greater debt. And it begins to own us. We owe our soul to the company store. And at the same time, it's stolen life from us here. So we trade this for this. And it displaces the things of the kingdom of God. And that's what really wealth is all about. Someone once told me, Wayne, invest in the greatest things in life. I said, oh, good. Real estate? No. He said, character. Character debt. And so that when you're tested, you won't fall. When you're tempted, you won't sway. That's the stuff that holds marriages together. That's the stuff that holds churches together. That's the stuff that holds families together. Invest in that and don't displace it with the God of Mammon, because it'll steal all of that from you. How often we make that mistake. There was a CEO that was at a retirement party for himself, and he was speaking to a group of young, impetuous executives. And he was a high-powered CEO with a big salary, and he was retiring, so it would leave a hole for all of these who'd vie to fill. And he stood up and gave a short but poignant speech to all of these. He looked out over all of these raring-to-go young executives, zealous. And he said, I know many of you want my job because I'm about to retire and it's going to leave a vacancy. I know you want it. And you know what? As I retire, I'm going to give you the secret of how to get it. All of a sudden, ooh, they're all listening. He continued. He said, my daughter got married last month. And when she walked down the aisle, I realized that I never knew her favorite color. When she walked down the aisle, I never knew what her hobbies were. I never knew the books she read. I never knew what she wanted in life. And to tell you the truth, without looking, I couldn't tell you the color of her eyes. He said, that's the price I paid for this job. And if you want to pay the price, you can have the job. Do you understand how it can steal life? if we don't put it in its place. Well, that's exactly what happened to this one who thought he could buy his way, but he'd buy his way out of life. And it was found here in Luke 12. Let's read the scripture under that bullet. Ready? Go. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Would you underline not rich towards God? That's what we're talking about. You fool, he said, this very night your soul is required of you. And it may not be just you dying. It could be applied to us as your soul or these character qualities that give you the likeness of God. These character qualities of contentment, peace, joy. These character qualities of goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control, innovation, creativity, persistence, endurance, loyalty, camaraderie, humility, a willingness to humble yourself. Your soul is going to be required of you, sir. Your soul is going to be required of you, sister, at certain times. And if there's nothing in that reservoir, your life crashes. Your decisions go bad and awry, and relationships are destroyed. Your soul is required of you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do because you thought this was good enough? What are you going to do when your soul is required and the devil is there to tempt you and you fall? And then your whole life is now somehow colored by that decision when your soul was required of you and you didn't have anything there to hold on to. And so the Lord is saying, you want to be a part of the kingdom. Don't let this mistake or this transference or displacing take a hold of you. And then you miss life indeed. And that's what this one guy said. I've got lots of stuff laid up. You see, sometimes people think they're wealthy, but they're not. So God is saying, be careful. What profits a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? See, our assignment is not to accumulate as much as we can and then protect it till the end. No, our assignment is very different. Our assignment is, first of all, to represent God's heart at our family, at our work, with our relatives and relationships, to represent the Father in this world. And then to help people come to know the one that we know, come to know the Lord. That's an eternal assignment. Otherwise, we'll be like that friend of mine I told you about once that handed in a big old term paper, and he showed it to me and he got it back, and it said on the top by the instructor, it said, great paper. Great footnotes, beautiful illustrations, well typed, F, wrong assignment. And what will we do one day when we come before God and he'll say, oh man, nice stuff you had, great stuff. Ooh, wow, F, wrong assignment. You missed it. And that's exactly what happened to this man. And so he got close, but he never got into the kingdom. And I don't want us to miss it. I don't want us to say close is good enough. I so desire that we as God's people enter the fullness of the kingdom, because there's going to be times when your soul will be required of you. And then you'll understand what it means to be rich towards God. That's what he said. Rich towards God. What does that mean? Well, that's the character of God. That's what makes you rich. Contentment, the joy, the integrity, the ability to be loyal and committed. That stuff, I mean, you can't pay for that. That's the stuff that makes churches and families and marriages, communities take shape. And when you do it in the name of Christ and it's done under his power, that makes you rich towards God. And you may not have a whole bunch in the bank, but you're rich. It'll show in your families. Because you see, and I want to give a word to parents. The reason I say it starts in your families is because we're the ones that pass on the legacy to our children. But the instruction has to start here. This got to begin with us. You know why? Listen, parents, please listen very carefully. Here it is. You may teach what you know, but you will only reproduce what you are. You can teach what you know, stuff you learned in seminars or at work, but ultimately you will only be reproducing what you are. It's just how life works. So if I want my son, my daughters to have a deep devotion to God, it's got to start here. Because that's my DNA. That's what you're going to pass on. The proclivities, the tendencies will be given. If I want my sons and my daughters to be faithful to their spouses, I better be faithful. If I want them to be committed and loyal, I've got to develop that right here. Because I can teach what I know, but I will ultimately only reproduce what I am. And so that's got to start with us. So here's a word. There's sometimes, you know, especially those of us that have come out of the hippie generation, now yuppies, and it's so easy to see our kids struggling, and we say, here's some more. You know, we just kind of give them stuff. You know what's happening, though? We're buying their way out of life. Because they don't have to develop patience and intuition or innovation or creativity or humility, because it's just, we get them. Here. Yeah. And we think it's love. It's not. It's a very dangerous thing. Here's a word to parents. Before you just dole out the dough, be careful to make sure that you're teaching them to tap into the kingdom life first and develop character qualities so that when God adds finances, they have the maturity to steward it well. And it starts with us, because we have the tendency to feel sorry for, so we bail them out. We bail them out of life. You just bail them out of character. So use it wisely. It doesn't mean you don't. I mean, I still give to my kids because my wife forces me to. So I'm not saying don't. But there are times you may not, and you may want to think more deeply. I remember Aaron coming home from Bible college. It was in his last year. And he had overcharged his credit card, so he's about $500, I think, in debt. And he came to me and said, "Hey, Dad, you know, this is my last term, and I'm trying to work. I got to study and stuff, but I got this credit card debt that I piled up. And could you just pay that off for me?" And I said, probably not. And he said, "Oh, come on, Dad, come on, pray about it. I don't know who he got that from, goodness. And so I said, "Well, let me think about it, but before I do, why don't you, there's a fence here in the yard. Could you paint it for me? It's kind of drab and it's all peeling. And could you, got the paint right here. Could you paint?" "Oh, Dad," he said, "oh man, the surf's up, but Dad, today, come on." And you know what I was thinking about? It's about 6-7 hours worth. I was going to pay him $50 an hour. I didn't tell him that. But I said, if he just paints that, instead of just doling out the bucks, I want him to develop some industriousness, put some time in, and then I will reward him so that I help him develop this, and I use this to help him develop rather than to displace and steal from this. So I said, I didn't tell him. I said, "Just, paint." And so, okay. So he took the brush out there, 3 boards he painted, and then he vanished. I said, "Honey, where'd Aaron go?" "Oh, he went to jump in the water for a while," he said. And then he goes back to Bible college. The thing stayed like that, 3 boards painted. And then he finally came back from college. By then, his credit card thing was, epic proportion amount. I mean, the FBI was after him by now. And then finally, though, I have to give him credit. He finally finished the fence. It was like 9 months it took. It was like pregnancy. It was just 9 months. Well, I did help him with that credit card bill, but I wanted to teach him how to develop industriousness, and I could buy his way out of life. Recently, he wanted a pickup, same child, and because he had to get rid of a lease car, and so he said, "Dad, I want to buy this, Tacoma pickup." And I said, "How much?" "Oh, $18,000. $18,000. I said, "Aaron, you're still a baby. $18,000. Yeah, he said, I said, "How much have you saved this last year?" "Oh, I saved a little bit." And I said, "Well, you should go at least half. If you want to get a car for $5,000, you need to put down $25,000, $10,000, $5,000, $20,000, $10,000. And then it'll bring the payments down to what you can handle in your budget. So you want to think about that." And so he said, "Oh, Dad, come on, if you can just kind of let me, just front me the down payment." I said, "Let me pray about that." He said, "I'll pay you back that, I promise. I'll pray for you, I promise." He said, "Well, Dad, how am I going to get around?" I said, "I have a moped. Why don't you take my moped?" I gave him my moped. And to his credit, still today, he's riding a moped. And I said, "Son, why don't you try to save? Let's really work together. And if you will take the next few months, maybe just even 3 or 4 months, and just save, and let's work it together." And again, to his credit, he said, "Okay, Dad, I'm okay with that." And you know, he's developing a sense of humility. He's developing a sense of industriousness. And I said, be creative, you know, don't spend stuff on like restaurants all the time. Let's just really try and save. So he's become very creative. He shows up at dinner almost every night now. Very creative. Yeah, he saw my wife's Mont Blanc pen she got for Christmas. Someone gave her like a beautiful, expensive pen. Very creative. Mom, you still using your Mont Blanc pen? Oh, she said, a little bit here and there. He says, you want to let me use it for you? Extremely creative. And one of the worst things is he is the same size as I am, so the same clothes fits him. Very creative. I went into the closet. Said, honey, where's the shirt that I had here, the real nice one? I don't know. Honey, where's my new belt? Oh, I don't know. Hey, you know that really nice pants I had? Where's that one? I don't know. I saw Aaron at church the other week and I looked at him. Some guy came up to me and said, hey, Wayne, your son is looking just like his father more and more, you know? I can tell you why. It's my shirt, my belt, my pants. Yeah, he's looking just like his father. Well, what's the cure? How do you keep that virus from infecting you? And how do you keep that distinction to keep money in its place? Would you write down under the cure, be known for being rich in good works more than anything else? No, not what you've accumulated and what you're holding on to. Your good works. That's what it says. Let's read again the scripture. Ready? Go. Instruct them to do good. What? To be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to share. Storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future. So that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. You understand? Because you'll miss the kingdom if you displace it with this. People, in closing, listen very carefully. God wants you to develop a deeper devotion, a resourcefulness, an integrity, an industriousness, a purity of heart. And you will reproduce what you are, so let it start to happen in you. And don't miss the kingdom. Close isn't good enough on this one. You want to make sure that we take a hold of life indeed. So that when people will see you, they will see the character of the Father. They'll see industriousness, a good work ethic, a willingness to stay humble, to start with what you have, a developing contentment, not so easily swayed by advertisement and keeping up with the Joneses, because we have our true assignment ever before us, and we won't let that go. Don't mix up. Don't get before the Father where he says, oh, nice paper, nice stuff, nice accumulation, F, wrong assignment. Don't miss your assignment. Because the world doesn't need to see us in our glitter. They need to see the Father. That's why it says, let your light so shine before men. So they'll see your what? Your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Then when people see whether you've got lots or little, they'll say, these are rich people. Look at their families. Look at their relationships. Look how rich they are. There's got to be something behind that. And they'll begin to see the Father. And you know what they'll say? They'll look at us and they'll say, you know, those people there at that church, they're starting to look more and more like their Father. And at that time, we'll say, hallelujah. Amen.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Close But Still So Far Away by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a church, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. We'll see you there.
Words of New Hope is heard each day at this time and sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless you and aloha.
I come to glorify you. Identify with you. Speak your name as my own. Crown you King, your praises I'll sing. I choose to glorify.